You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, October 8th, 2014, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad you could join us today for a hemp day hump day. We're in the middle of the week and the beginning of the Rick Steves Yes on Measure 91 tour. If you want to find out more about it, go to ricksteves.com or go to voteyeson91.com to get all the tour date listings. He spoke in Portland last night, and I had the chance to interview him in his hotel before he spoke at the First Congregational Church last night. We streamed it live on the Russ Melville Live channel, but if you'd like to hear my interview with Rick Steves yesterday, we'll be playing that in the Radical Rant segment at the end of the show, followed by, in hour two, the complete one-hour talk that Rick Steves gave just at noon today. This started 3 hours ago. I was out there recording this. We'll give you the entire talk, standing room only, in Beaverton, Oregon, for Rick Steves. That's coming up in hour two. Also on the show today, we've got more of those videos from the Kevin Sabet Marijuana Education Tour and Reefer Madness Debunked. At half past, we're going to show our interview with Bill Espenson on day three, the morning of day three, last Friday, outside Ontario, Oregon. Bill Espenson was the owner-operator of the 45th Parallel, a medical marijuana dispensary that followed the law, and yet he was busted by Malheur County, convicted of numerous felenies, and sentenced to 4 months in prison. We'll talk to him about that. And following his interview, we get to hear from the Baker County District Attorney, Matt Shurtcliffe, who's got some really reefer mad ideas about marijuana. And it's kind of scary to think that this is one of the leading law enforcers in Eastern Oregon, going through life with such misinformation about marijuana. So we'll play that for you as well at half past. Also, in drug war data mining today, we've uncovered some documents from our open records request that prove there were 571 felony convictions last year for marijuana in the state of Oregon. We'll follow that up with a video from Kevin Sabet explaining how nobody in Oregon goes to prison for pot. Also, I have a video from day two on the Kevin Sabet tour, where Kevin Sabet and his partner there, Eric Martin, who's a Oregon drug and alcohol addictions counselor and a self-described 30-year recovering pothead. I had a very simple question for them about marijuana policy that they took about 4 minutes to not answer. I think you'll be very interested in the non-answer we got. That'll be in our Behind the Headlines segment that takes place right after the 420 radio news. That's coming up next, right after these next messages. And in the headlines today, we've got word from Governor Hickenlooper and his opinion on other states legalizing marijuana. We have got Washington, D.C. looking to expunge the records of people convicted for simple marijuana possession. Florida is facing more difficulty in its medical marijuana fight, with a new poll out showing greater declines in support for the medical marijuana amendment. Richland, Washington finally became the last city in the Tri-Cities area of Washington to ban marijuana businesses, and we'll end up with the story here in Oregon on 30 cities now that are trying to preemptively tax marijuana before marijuana legalization passes and prevents them from doing so. All of that coming up on the Russ Melville Show. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your support of 420radio.org. Be back with the news right after this.
Nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. It was a nightmare scenario last May for one Southern Oregon woman. It's 4 in the morning and someone's trying to break in.
911 emergency.
My ex-boyfriend is trying to break into my house. He put me in the hospital a few weeks ago and I've been trying to keep him away.
But because of budget cuts, the sheriff's office is only open during weekday business hours.
I don't have anybody to send out there. So if he comes inside the residence and assaults you, can you ask him to go away? Or
he did break into the home, and he did rape and choke this woman. Meanwhile, it was announced that the Oregon Sheriff's Association made a $100,000 donation to the campaign against Measure 91, the initiative to legalize marijuana. So there's enough money to protect people from marijuana, but not rapists? Measure 91 devotes 35% of tax revenues from marijuana sales to state and local police. Vote yes on Measure 91. A message from the Russ Belville Show, not endorsed or sponsored by the Measure 91 campaign. Got a comment, question, complaint, or request for 420radio.org? Visit our contact page at 420radio.org.
Measure 91 regulates, legalizes, and taxes marijuana like beer and wine.
Oregon gets the benefit of going second. We can look at Washington, Colorado, and see what didn't work.
I mean, if we believe this is medicine, legalization needs to happen because there needs to be research, there needs to be development, and that needs to be not done in somebody's basement.
I don't think it is inevitable. Of all the marijuana measures, of which there have been at least a dozen, only one has passed, and that was the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act of 1998.
Once Oregon passes this and a couple of other states do, I think you're just going to see it sweep across the country and it's going to be done. We may lose a battle or two as we move forward, but the war is over.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper said Monday that legalizing pot was, quote, reckless. Hickenlooper, who made his fortune in the craft brewing industry, was asked at Monday's Denver Metro Chamber of Commerce debate what he would tell other states considering legalizing marijuana. Quote, any governor that looks at doing this before we see what the consequences are, I would view it as reckless, end quote, he said. He was then asked if the voters were reckless for supporting the amendment. Quote, I think for us to do that without having all the data, there is not enough data, and to a certain extent, you could say it was reckless. I'm not saying it was reckless, because I'll get quoted everywhere, but if it was up to me, I wouldn't have done it, right? I opposed it from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, all right, what the hell, I'll say it was reckless. A Quinnipiac University poll released in July found that 54% of Colorado voters still support legal pot. With marijuana possession decriminalized, what becomes of those with marijuana charges on their record before the law came into effect? Under a bill Washington, D.C. Councilmember David Grosso introduced last fall, the criminal records for district residents convicted of nonviolent marijuana-related crimes would be sealed. During today's legislative meeting, Grosso's bill unanimously passed the first vote. The bill applies to residents with a nonviolent misdemeanor or felony possession of marijuana as their only prior criminal history, according to Grosso's office. This could apply to 20,000 people arrested over a 10-year period. In August, Mayor Vince Gray quietly signed temporary legislation into law that allows doctors to prescribe medical marijuana to patients as they see fit, rather than limiting it to a short list of qualifying conditions. The council voted to make the temporary bill permanent. Support for a Florida ballot measure that would legalize medical marijuana continued to slide, dropping to 51% in a new poll released Wednesday. The measure needs 60% support to pass. The Survey USA poll has recorded a slow but steady decline in support for medical marijuana for four consecutive weeks, dropping from 56% to 53% to 52% to the current 51%. In the new poll, 15% said they are not certain how they will vote on the ballot measure known as Amendment 2. Pollsters said, quote, depending on what those last 15% do, the measure either becomes law or goes up in smoke, end quote. The Richland, Washington City Council voted 3-2 to ban marijuana-related land uses within the city limits. The vote followed about 30 minutes of public comment. More than a dozen people addressed the council, and at least 10 spoke against banning marijuana-related land uses within city limits. Richland was the last of the Tri-Cities to ban marijuana-related businesses from operating within city limits. City officials cited a decision made by the state attorney general earlier this year that said municipalities could ban marijuana sales and production by imposing zoning regulations. Councilman Anderson prepared for Tuesday's vote by speaking to two friends who are doctors, he said. He wanted to better understand the medicinal uses of marijuana since so many residents commenting during public hearings cited the substance's medical value. Anderson said of the doctors, quote, both of them said zero. There is nothing. Really, there is no proof, end quote. Last week, Hillsborough, Oregon joined nearly 30 municipalities that have approved or are considering taxing legal pot, despite language in Oregon's Measure 91 aimed at preventing exactly that. The hope is to pressure state lawmakers into amending the law, if it passes, to allow local governments to levy additional sales taxes. Otherwise, cities will find themselves waging an uphill battle in court, legal experts say. Section 42 of Measure 91 states, quote, no county or city of this state shall impose any fee or tax in connection with the purchase, sale, production, processing, transportation, and delivery of marijuana items, end quote. Section 58 takes it a step further, quote, the state law shall be paramount and superior to and shall fully replace and supersede any and all municipal charter enactments or local ordinances inconsistent with it. Even so, the list of localities seeking to impose their own taxes keeps growing by the week. Measure 91's drafters copied the language nearly verbatim from the state liquor code, which prevents cities from collecting local taxes on alcohol. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. I'm Russ Belville. You can get 420 Radio on the go with the TuneIn Radio app for all mobile platforms. Go to rad-r.us/420TuneIn or just click the TuneIn Radio icon below the live radio feed on.
Mike Schwab is a former middle school science and math teacher. Currently, he works with children daily as an after-school program leader.
Currently, kids have easy access to marijuana with little understanding of its impact. We can take better care of our kids through Measure 91 with strict regulations and funding for proven marijuana education and prevention programs to keep kids from using it. Under our current marijuana laws, one mistake can ruin a life. Measure 91 removes unfairly harsh punishment for marijuana offenses and gets more tax money to local police and drug prevention. Vote yes on 91.
What the authorities should do is decriminalize pot use. You want to do it in your house, not bother anyone? Fine. Go outside with a joint or a pipe, you pay a fine.
I don't use marijuana, but as a teacher of 36 years, I can tell you lots of other people use it. I don't believe in prohibition. I don't think it works. Prohibiting it hasn't stopped anybody from getting a hold of it. I would like to see it regulated so that maybe kids can't get a hold of it so easily. I know they get a hold of it now very easily. I support a new approach to marijuana. I support legalizing it. It's with us. It's not going to go away, and if we can get money through the taxation, we can also educate our kids about it. That's why I support it.
Welcome back, everybody. Quarter after the hour, time for us to go behind the headlines. And as you know, I've been following the tours of Kevin Sabet last week and Rick Steves this week, who are against and for Measure 91, respectively. And some new media has come out regarding my coverage of Kevin Sabet in La Grande. If you check out my Twitter feed, at Radical Russ, I've posted the links to the story in the La Grande Observer, which I thought did a great job covering my coverage of the event and offering a contrary perspective to the reefer madness that Kevin Sabet was spewing to the people of La Grande. Now, I also wanted to bring up this video, and this is from, I believe this one is the Grants Pass event. It's either Grants Pass or La Grande. I forget which one. They all started to blend together after a while. But they took questions from the audience written down on little 3x5 cards. And finally, one of my questions got picked by the drug prevention coordinator who was running the event. I think you'll enjoy this video.
Do you have any solutions for protecting children from marijuana that don't maintain criminal penalties for adults who grow and sell? I'll read it again. Do you have any solutions for protecting children from marijuana that don't maintain criminal penalties for adults who grow and sell?
Well, that's a really good question, and I don't have a big solution for that. You know, I'm not, you know, some big, prohibition person. I'm an anti-commercialization person. I believe that when industries get involved with abusable drugs and abusable behaviors like gambling, so alcohol, tobacco, other drugs, gambling, that they oftentimes get in an exploitative relationship with addicts. And I realize they don't make up the majority of the population, but that's the population that I work with, and that's who I am, and I see exploitation. You know, I don't know if you guys realize it, but if everyone 21 and older in America drank according to the recommended guidelines, if they drank alcohol according to the recommended guidelines of no more than one drink a day for a woman and no more than two drinks a day for a man, alcohol sales would drop 80% in the United States. 80%. Because the lifeblood of many of these industries is not the occasional user. The lifeblood of many of these industries are the people who are addicted. So I see the exploitation of addicts all the time by big commercialization. So I'm more of an anti-commercialization kind of person. And so that's my concern. When it comes to criminalization, I have fought against criminalization. I actually received a grant from Drug Policy Alliance and George Soros because I ran a big campaign about 13 years ago for treatment over incarceration. So,
back to the other false dichotomy that we have in this issue. You know, I talked about a couple of the false dichotomies, but another one is that the only way to address this issue is either sort of having maximum criminal penalties or having zero any penalties and in fact encouraging use. And I don't think that either of those solutions really seem to me to convince me of being the most optimal way, as the questioner put it, to prevent prevent youth use. Now, where that line is more difficult, but I can tell you that in terms of so-called threats to society, I think an adult growing marijuana in their basement for themselves, much obviously a very different threat, much less than sort of these massive companies that you see selling mass productions of marijuana chocolate bars to young people. And so I hope we can sort of make that distinction in society and not get caught up in, we either have to sell marijuana grape soda that appeals to 10-year-olds, or we have to throw people in the slammer for 20 years, or give them a criminal, I agree with Eric, give them a criminal record. I don't think we have to get really caught in that trap.
'Cause I'm a liar! Yeah, I'm a liar! I'll tear your mind out! I'll burn your soul! I'll turn you into me! I'll turn you into me!
So there you go, Kevin Sabet on the tour in Grants Pass, spreading more reefer madness and failing to answer my question. But we know what the answer is, don't we?
I spent the last 2 years of high school in a daze.
Funny how President Obama spent the last 2 years of high school smoking a ton of pot and still managed to be a success. Wow, what do you know? The answer to Kevin Sabet, the question that I asked Kevin Sabet, of course, is no. They don't have any ideas on policies that don't involve criminalizing adults who grow and sell marijuana. More Kevin Sabet video coming up right after this. Stick around.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with the Ustream video app for Android and iPhone. Go to rad-r.us/420Ustream or just click the Ustream app icon for Android or iPhone below the live radio feed at 420radio.org. Greenstream Radio with Grandma Cat, Tim Me, and On One from Olympia, Washington. Replaying Tuesdays at 11 Pacific on 420radio.org.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Welcome back, everybody. 22 after the hour, and the drug war data mine I've been going to lately has been provided by the Oregon District Attorney, specifically District Attorney Josh Marquis, the leading opponent to Measure 91, and the Oregon District Attorney's listserv. If you'd like to pour through some of those records with us, you can. They are available publicly at radicalrust.com/docs. All you need is the Adobe Acrobat free reader, and you should be able to read any one of the over 1,200 emails, I think it's about 1,200 that we've uncovered, maybe 1,000. But anyway, lots of emails in there, all sorts of details. You can pick out the highlights that I've given through the @RadicalRust Twitter feed, all sorts of interesting things they had to say. One of the things we discovered was the statistics for how many people are convicted of felonies over the past fiscal year, July 2013 to June 2014, after we lowered our sentencing guidelines through a bill that I came up with. 571 people got felonies in Oregon.
It's a big myth that people are locked up in our prisons for crimes that only involve smoking marijuana. The idea that, you know, we have law enforcement here, so please correct me if I'm wrong, that we are going around and finding people with, you know, outlines of joints in their pocket and throwing them in state prison makes no sense. And I'll tell you, that's a very easy case for me to make in a state like Oregon, where you have the most lax marijuana law after Colorado and Washington in the country. But let's say you're driving 35 and a 60, you're driving here kind of erratically, you're swerving, your taillight's busted. And by the way, you haven't registered your car in 2 years. You have six kids in a car that's supposed to have four, and you get pulled over. Right? Okay, that makes sense. And, you know, the law enforcement officer peeks his head in, you can't even see your face because of the marijuana smoke going in the car. Well, yeah, then you're probably going to get written up and arrested for that. But we know after looking at all the data that driving under the influence of marijuana, intoxication, essentially doubles your risk of a car crash. Now, alcohol at least quadruples it. And when you put it together, see what it works. It's about, I don't know what the number is on top of my head, but when you put alcohol and marijuana together, which is, they're usually used together, not as substitutes, especially among heavy users, when you do it together, it's even greater than that. But the point is, marijuana impairs driving. Finding folks who have never done anything in their life other than using a joint once or twice that are being locked up for that. Now, you talk about larger amounts and dealing and things like that, then yeah, it's going to be a different scenario. But I also think that we should look into laws that don't criminalize people for possessing marijuana. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Colorado and Washington, because I think it is important. We have two states that are trying something. 80%, according to the statistics, 80% of you drink responsibly and don't have a problem with it. That's probably the same for a drug like marijuana. It's difficult to know, but probably. That means that 20% of you don't drink responsibly and drink to such an extent that it's damaging yourself and people around you and jeopardizing public safety. You know, again, baby boomers, the idea of a, you know, marijuana lollipop or marijuana chocolate hazelnut spread. I mean, yeah, there were, when I went to Berkeley, yes, there were people making marijuana brownies for 40 years. That's not new. But we're talking about these kinds of innovative products that are essentially knockoffs from common products that are happening, and also products that specifically target kids. The sodas and candy bars and chocolate ice creams. You know, a lot of people think, well, if I'm going to try marijuana, I'm a naive user. Are you going to want to try a smelly old joint or a scary thing that's on the end of a needle that looks like heroin or some huge contraption that you look to put your mouth on and vaporize? Or would you be more likely, like me, to want to try the thing that is, you know, laced with a lot of sugar and chocolate? That sounds a little more attractive to me than some of those other things. 'Cause I'm a liar!
Four20 Radio is 24-hour marijuana.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz thinks it's okay for medical marijuana patients to go to federal prison. On May 30th, she voted against an amendment that would respect Florida's new laws and protect Florida's patients. Even though 88% of Florida voters support medical marijuana, why would Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz vote to send patients like this to prison? Is Congresswoman Wasserman Schultz out of touch with Florida?
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, treat law enforcement with respect and stand up for your rights by repeating, "I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney." Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at omarfigueroa.com.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he dropped dead from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering 7 decades of propaganda in a 2-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Welcome back, everyone. 30 after and following the Kevin Sabet tour. Kevin is very careful not to issue any reefer mad statements that are easily debunked, but the district attorney from Baker County, not so careful. We got an interview with Bill Espenson, who got felony convictions for running a medical marijuana dispensary, followed by the
Good
DA.
Good morning, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here on the far eastern side of Oregon, Ontario, Oregon, and we're visiting with Bill Espenson, who fought the law, and the law won. Hey, Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing great, and you?
I'm doing fantastic. If you don't know Bill's story, he was one of the three of the Oregon Triangle, northwestern, southwestern, and eastern, that ran dispensaries that got raided by the cops. You fought them. You didn't take a plea or nothing. And tell folks what happened from that point.
I fought them, and the law won. They even through their lies, through the court trial, 2-week-long court trial, they convicted me of 12 felonies, racketeering, conspiracy, 8 counts of delivery for money, consideration is what they called it, and they beat me. My case is currently under appeal, and we're hoping for a better outcome with a better court instead of this small town court system we have here.
Yeah, folks, Ontario, Oregon is literally on the Idaho-Oregon border on the Snake River. We're 30 miles away from where the metroplex of Boise starts. Caldwell, Nampa, Meridian, Boise. There's about 250,000 people around
Correct.
That area.
Yep.
So the situation was you were running 45th Parallel, a dispensary, and a legal dispensary in Oregon and dealing with patients with medical marijuana cards, but Oregon doesn't have a residency requirement.
Correct.
So a lot of Idaho patients would come in.
Absolutely.
And so which court was it? It was Oregon that went
Malheur County Court.
Malheur County. So even in Oregon, where we have medical marijuana, and you were dealing with patients and had cards and everything was supposedly legal under medical, you still had to go through this ordeal.
Absolutely. Yeah, they came in, tried to sell me pot. I told them to leave. They came in, tried to buy pot. I told them to leave. They finally had one of their police officers go to his personal doctor, get a fake name, a fake condition, and show up at our clinic to get a Oregon medical marijuana card. They gave him a fake driver's license in that fake name, and he was able to come in and obtain medical cannabis, and there wasn't one damn thing we could have done about it.
So from your perspective, as you're checking IDs and you're checking medical recommendations and you're checking backgrounds of doctors and all that, there's no way you can tell that any of this isn't legit.
Nobody on this earth could have told.
Because it's a
nobody.
Real driver's
yeah.
license.
Nobody could have. No, there's just no way we could have told.
So it's a complete setup by the folks in Malheur County, kind of a good old boy, small town atmosphere going on here. But I think it shows how medical marijuana hasn't gone far enough even to protect the people that are doing it right.
Absolutely.
And have actual medical conditions. And so we've got this Yes on 91, the measure to legalize adult recreational use of marijuana. Tell how you support that and why that helps medical.
Well, it gives everybody access, every 21 and older access to this without having a medical card. And a lot of people, they don't want to go to the doctor. They're scared of doctors or whatever it is. They know cannabis works for them instead of alcohol or heroin or tobacco or whatever it may be, meth. And it's just makes sense. We got kids losing their student loans because they get busted for a joint for 2 years, and people are going to jail, and it's ridiculous. This needs to end. We got a lot more things to worry about besides cannabis. I mean, that's the bottom line. And the key word is adults. You know, nobody wants their 16-year-old kid using cannabis. We want them to be in school learning as best they can without being high. So the word adult is definitely key and prevalent that in this yes on 91.
Absolutely. And I would think with it being legal and having a system of regulated stores and processors and growers, that the impetus then to go after medical people, like what happened with you, goes away.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes it harder for kids to get. I don't know about you, but when I was in high school and asked somebody to buy me beer, that was a pretty hard deal. And the stores wouldn't sell it to you, of course, because they card you and all that good stuff. So, yeah, if we have it regulated, it makes much, much more sense. And it drives out the competition. I mean, it really does. Why would you go to somebody on the street if you could go get it in the store and pick your flavor?
The average cost of incarcerations in the state of Oregon is $84.81 a day. Any idea how much they spent on you?
Well, with that number right there, it was well over $10,000 to incarcerate me. I was promoted while I was in there to head cook, and I was given 30 days off good time. when I was in there, 90% of the people in there were in there for meth use. And when I was in there, I found an 8-ball of meth on the hallway floor.
Whoa.
And I gave it to the sheriff, and they couldn't believe it. And they watched the film, and they were able to find the guy that dropped it there on the floor on his way to court.
Wow. Bill Espenson, thank you for standing up for patients and for legalization and taking the risk that you took and taking the fall. And I sure hope the appeal goes well.
Thank you very much.
All right. Vote yes on 91, folks.
So that's what, you know, I would just encourage you to get the word out.
Thank you so much for putting on an educational forum. I think this is, issue of marijuana in Oregon is very, very important, and it's important that people get the facts. Unfortunately, Dr. Sabet doesn't give you all the facts. According to Colorado government statistics, since 2009, teen monthly marijuana use is down from 1 out of 4 kids to 1 out of 5. It's reduced 20%, even though their perception of risk has gone down. Overall traffic fatalities are down. Part 1 FBI UCR crimes, including homicide, are down. Tourism is up 6.2%. They've made $37.5 million in tax revenue, and the Marijuana Enforcement Division has issued cards for 18,666 jobs. If you're going to have an educational forum, it's not right to cherry pick your facts. You should give all the facts, sir.
Well,
thank you.
People can choose whatever facts they want to choose, but when a little kid shows up at the emergency room about ready to die because of marijuana, that's a fact.
It is impossible to die from marijuana. There is no toxic overdose from marijuana, sir. And there was most recently a sting where law enforcement sources tried to get into medical marijuana shops with underage people to try to get kids with underage to get marijuana. Zero of the shops let the kids in to buy marijuana. They did the same sting for alcohol. 28 bars and restaurants allowed kids to get alcohol. Give all the facts, and I'm all for these forums, but you guys are cherry-picking the facts to make marijuana look bad because Measure 91's on the ballot, and you guys know you're going to lose. Thank you.
Now, I always try to look at where we're at. I don't predict wins and losses. But what I can tell you is if you look at the Denver DA's blog, you look at those 12 homicides, they're all dispensaries.
Right, and homicides are down.
Dispensaries and people dying because of marijuana production. You can't argue against it. The facts are there. The convictions are there. The homicides are there. Malheur County just had a big case, busted a bunch of dispensaries. Illegal felons running dispensaries.
How many people were killed at breweries?
I'm just asking you to do your own research.
How many people killed at breweries, sir? Breweries. Liquor stores?
Do what you choose to do. Thank you.
Once again, protecting the drug war grants. Easy arrests for cops, overtime that they can spend in court busting people that use cannabis, a drug far safer than alcohol.
I had turned the camera off before the very end of that, where one of the ladies from the prevention industry came over and said, "You should come with me to some of my, and see some of the people I have to treat in rehab." And I said, "Ma'am, my father is a recovered drug and alcohol addict who then became a drug and alcohol counselor. I'll bet I know more about treatment and prevention and drug addiction than you do. Thank you." All right, we got a Rick Steves interview coming up next, his pre-Measure 91 tour interview from yesterday, and then in hour two, his complete talk from just today at noon in Beaverton, Oregon. You're listening to the Russ Belvel Show on 420radio.org.
You're tuned into the Russ Belvel Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the activist radio station. Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof. Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane.
With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Yeah. Can't beat me, man. Oh. Yo, Quincy.
Number two. What's up, man?
Why don't you bring out that weed, man?
It's gone.
What?
If you know your kid has been smoking pot,
whoa,
find a way to take action. Get tough, get creative, just get through.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420 Radio.
The Pistachio. Green, natural, and available without prescription in all 50 states. He's fine.
You can't handle the truth.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
You have offended my family.
Hey, this is great, man.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
I know nothing.
I support a change in law. End federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
We don't need no stinking budget.
Homosexuality, no. Immorality in general.
How in the century you have slurred the meaning of the words we, the people.
Be warned, this is not your mother's marijuana.
You could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
I want to ask you a bunch of questions. I want to have them answered immediately.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical Rant.
Yesterday at this time, I had to make my way to downtown Portland to interview Rick Steves prior to the beginning of his Measure 91 10 City Oregon tour. And those of you that tuned in yesterday might have thought, well, there's no show, so we're not going to stick around. I did broadcast this interview when I got back at 4 o'clock, but I thought I'd replay it today for those of you who might have missed it. This is Rick Steves from his hotel in downtown Portland prior to the Measure 91 tour.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. We're sitting here with Rick Steves, the acclaimed travel author and public television host, who is here in Oregon to embark on a tour in promotion of Measure 91, our initiative to legalize marijuana in the state of Oregon. Rick Steves, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Russ. Good to be with you.
So tell us a little bit about this tour. Where do you start and how long are you going to be in Oregon?
Well, I'm excited to be kicking off a 10-city in 6-day tour. We're going all over Oregon now, just like I did in Washington 2 years ago for I-502. And the whole idea is to explain to people who really don't know a lot about the war on drug, you know, the drug war and the war against marijuana and all the civil liberties issues and the law enforcement issues and the economic issues. What's the story here with the criminalization of marijuana? And I want to educate people so that they can understand this is not pro-marijuana, this is anti-prohibition. And I want to assure people that the people behind Measure 91, just like the people who wrote and sponsored I-502 in Washington, were not necessarily even pot smokers. These are people that care about smart laws in our society, and they care about the reality that during the prohibition against marijuana, just like the prohibition against alcohol, the laws against the drug were causing more problems than the drug they were supposed to be dealing with. So this is just an educational thing, and it's fun to try to raise people's understanding about how important this is and how there's a lot of civil liberties concerns. There's refocus our precious law enforcement resources away from petty nonviolent pot smokers to real serious crimes, and also to understand the racism dimensions of the war against marijuana, and to recognize that when we have marijuana illegal in our society, It doesn't mean less people are going to smoke pot. It means that more people are going to get their pot from criminals, from gangs and organized crime. And what this huge criminal market does is it just enriches these criminals. People are going to smoke pot one way or another. You can't wish it away. And I think it makes much more sense to legislate and tax regulate and tax and legalize the marijuana business. That's what we did in Washington. That's what we did in Colorado a couple of years ago. I think the track record is such that people in Oregon should be very confident about working with us to stop the federal government's war against marijuana.
Well, the tour starts today and goes throughout a number of Oregon cities. And if you want to know more about it, get online. That's going to be the easiest place to look. Just go to voteyeson91.com/ricksteves. And you've got a link at ricksteves.com too.
Yeah, if people go to ricksteves.com or on the cover, they can click through and then it'll go right to voteyeson91.com here in Oregon. It's so fun to be able to go to 10 cities and be able to give my presentation. I'll be talking about how travel has broadened my perspective in general, and then specifically talking about what I've learned from my international travels about drug policy issues and how that applies to our challenges right here. I want to stress again that, you know, there are a lot of people who are pro-pot, but this is not about pro-marijuana. This is anti-prohibition, and this is just recognizing that, marijuana is a drug. It's not good for you. It can be abused. It can be addicted. But when we want to recognize its mature adult use as a civil liberty, we want to keep it away from kids, when we want to make sure that the roads are safe, when we want to protect employers' rights in the workplace, we can still regulate, tax, and legalize marijuana rather than having it be this booming criminal market, which I think is an amazing thing. People don't realize it, but in Washington State, where I live, you know, marijuana was rivaling apples. It's the biggest cash crop in the country. There's a lot of people that are coming into Oregon and saying all sorts of things on why we should keep marijuana illegal. But a lot of their arguments are based on the hope that nobody will smoke pot. The reality is people are smoking pot right now, not just Russ, but a lot of people. I think that I firmly believe that once we legalize marijuana, use will not go up substantially. There'll probably be a spike because everybody will go, it's interesting. But then it'll settle down because essentially anybody who wants to smoke pot now does. I'm not just saying that because it's a hunch. I'm saying that because that's the track record of every other society that has lightened up on its laws against smoking pot. The Americans smoke per capita much more than the Dutch, and the Dutch have not arrested a pot smoker for 25 years. These societies have realized there's no correlation between how many people are going to smoke pot, how much pot is consumed, and how strict the laws are. I think that's a fundamental misunderstanding in the American electorate. And if we can get that across, and then if we can have people in Oregon recognize that the situation today is precious law enforcement resources are going to chasing down non-violent marijuana possession cases when there are serious crimes that are not dealt with. And in Oregon, they cite or they arrest 13,000 people every year. That takes thousands and thousands of hours of law enforcement time, precious law enforcement resources, and those limited law enforcement resources should be refocused into more serious crimes. I know from Washington State, my friend Jay Inslee is our governor. He is so thankful that he's got the revenue generated by taxing legal marijuana rather than that money going to empower and enrich gangs and organized crimes. And Jay is so thankful that in our state, we've arrested 5,000 people fewer this year and 5,000 fewer people next year because we have stopped arresting pot smokers. It's just a pragmatic harm reduction way to have a smart law on the books when it comes to marijuana. Again, this is not hard on drugs or soft on drugs. This is simply being smart on drugs and addressing the challenges that drug use and drug abuse presents our society, and to do it in a smart way. This is going to be very exciting when Oregon legalizes the adult responsible use of marijuana. It's going to be taxed and regulated and legalized. And then 5 years from now, when the rest of the United States is on board, they'll look back and thank Washington, Colorado, and Oregon for being groundbreakers in breaking this prohibition of our age. And for that, I'm very proud to be part of this this education process here. And I want to remind people this is an off-year election, so it's easier to pass these laws when the president's up for election and everybody's out and voting. And now people that might not be as inclined to support a thoughtful law like this are possibly less likely to go to the polls, and we really got to recognize that this is a turnout issue. If you care about this issue and you want to take the crime out of the equation here in Oregon for adult recreational use of marijuana, get your friends to vote for sure this coming November. This is really, really important. I don't want to lose this opportunity in Oregon to help break our federal government's insistence on locking up pot smokers.
Yeah, folks, you've got until October 14th to register to vote. You can go to the Oregon Secretary of State website. Just Google that. You'll find it, and it's really easy to register. And if you're not sure if you're registered, register. Yeah, you can't over-register. They'll take the latest registry. If you've moved recently, register. If you didn't get a ballot in May for the primary, register. Make sure that you get that ballot and you're a part of making history. And also wanted to talk, you mentioned the track record. We've got track record now in Washington and Colorado. We've had track record from a lot of European countries, the Netherlands, Portugal, even some of the Czech Republic and those areas have a more tolerant. Spain has the cannabis clubs and so forth. What lessons would you like to see applied from Washington and Colorado specifically, or the European nations, as we move forward with regulating marijuana in Oregon? Because our opponents like to say, well, it doesn't set this or it doesn't say that, things that will be worked out in regulations.
Well, that's one great thing about these initiatives or these measures is they're designed so they can be adjusted by the legislature once it gets enacted. And I don't think anybody can write perfect laws knowing what's down the road. This is a very smart law. This law has been learning from Washington and from Colorado's experience. My friend Ethan Nadelman, who is the president of the Drug Policy Alliance, he's probably the leading smart guy in drug policy reform as far as I'm concerned in the country. He said Oregon's Measure 91 is going to be the gold standard of marijuana laws in this country, and that's something Oregonians can be proud of. I want to remind people, when somebody comes into this state and starts encouraging Oregonians to keep marijuana criminal and to keep locking up or arresting or citing 13,000 people a year, you should ask, what motivates these people? Do they really care, or are they in here being paid for by somebody who makes money because marijuana is illegal? I've learned from my work in Washington State 2 years ago, I've learned from 10 years as a board member of Normal, that the people who speak out in favor of criminalizing marijuana are usually people who make money, or they speak for interests that make money because marijuana is illegal. I call them the PPP, the Pot Prohibition Profiteers. Who pays for these guys? When they come into Oregon, ask, who paid for their plane ticket? I would bet it is a pharmaceutical company that is threatened by marijuana. I would bet it is a sheriff's union or a police outfit that wants to keep getting those government grants that are measured by how many people do you lock up. I would bet it's a policeman's organization or a law enforcement organization that gets to seize people's property. They seize $1 billion a year of people's property just because they've got some marijuana on the premises, and that they become addicted to. These are wrong reasons to keep marijuana illegal, and I would say, as a smart electorate here in Oregon, you need to know what's motivating the people who are encouraging you to vote one way or the other. I drove down from Seattle on my own penny. I'm here for a whole week because I really believe in the civil liberties. I really believe, whatever you think about marijuana yourself, philosophically, if you believe in America and if you believe in freedom, it is a civil liberty for adults to responsibly use marijuana in their own home if they choose to. Apart from that, I'm very enthusiastic about redirecting limited and precious law enforcement resources into dealing with serious crimes rather than running down pot smokers. I do want to remind people, when you think of 13,000 people that had a run-in with the law every year in Oregon, they're not rich white guys. They're poor people and they're people of color. And that in itself is a huge cost on our society, a very important long-term cost that doesn't even come into all these other numbers. You can frame this in so many ways. You can frame this in, I could talk all day about the reasons to take the crime out of the equation and treat marijuana. It's responsible adult use as a civil liberty, and it's misuse and abuse as a health challenge and an education challenge. That's what my European friends have taught me. Russ, you're asking about what I've learned in Europe. Yeah. Europeans have reminded me, you know, they've learned that, and they have much more densely populated societies than we do, and they have to deal with these problems a little more smartly. And they remind me that a society has to make a choice, tolerate alternative lifestyles or build more prisons. Hmm. And then they always remind me that we Americans lock up 10 times as many people per capita as they do. 10 times as many people per capita. Then they follow up with the annoying little kicker that they say, either you Americans are inherently more criminal or there's something screwy about our laws. I don't think we Americans are inherently more criminal. I think there's something screwy about our laws. That's why Russ spends so much time running around the country making sure people learn about this. And that's why I'm taking a break from my work as a travel writer and a tour organizer up in Seattle and saying there's something even more important than going to Europe on your vacation, and that is ending this war on marijuana here in the United States of America.
Yeah, and I understand the Dutch recently closed something like 8 prisons for lack of
prisoners.
You know, the Dutch are renting out their extra prison space to the Belgians, who still lock up fewer people than they should. It's just an enlightened society that educates people instead of incarcerates them.
One final question. An aspect of legalization for this campaign in Oregon that we saw in Washington and we're not seeing in Oregon was the no on I-502 types, the medical marijuana that was very scared of 502. And in retrospect, kind of looks like they had a reason to be scared. The legislature passed 502 after 502 seemed like it really wanted to go after and change a little bit about medical. Why do you not see that happening in Oregon, and how might this be different?
You know, I think the people who wrote Measure 91 here in Oregon were very smart in learning from Washington and learning from Colorado. You know, Colorado and Washington, we were the icebreakers, and nobody had ever done this before. Nobody anywhere on the planet had ever done this. I mean, the Dutch stopped arresting pot smokers, but they never dealt with the backside. They call that the gray area. Just, you know, we don't want to know how you wholesale it and produce it. We're dealing with that now because it's just common sense to get to the root of this problem. I think Oregon's initiative is probably smarter when it comes to how do you sort out the medical and the recreational end of this thing. I'm not an expert on all of those dimensions of this law. I'm just really interested in the pragmatic harm reduction and the civil liberties. I'm very concerned about the racist aspect of the way we enforce our marijuana laws, and I don't believe a prohibition is a constructive way to deal with a drug problem.
Excellent. And I think we're in good shape here in Oregon. We've already regulated our medical side and have laws for our dispensaries. Oh, yeah. So we're a bit of an apples and oranges comparison.
I think Oregon is a state that it is right to take the lead along with Washington and Colorado in helping our... You can try to say this is good for Oregon, but this is important for the United States, the entire United States. There are other states in this country that are like in a whole different century about this. I mean, there's still a few counties that are dry from an alcohol prohibition left over. If it wasn't for a few courageous states in the 1930s to break the federal insistence on locking up people who enjoy alcohol, we might have had prohibition against alcohol for a lot longer. And I really believe in 5 years or whatever, the rest of the country's going to look back and thank Washington and Colorado and Oregon for making marijuana regulated, taxed, and legal.
You can find all about the Rick Steves tour across Oregon in support of Measure 91 at ricksteves.com, or just go to voteyeson91.com/ricksteves. You should visit voteyeson91.com anyway. They've got yard signs and stickers and brochures and all the information you need to help convince your friends, your family, your neighbors to do the sensible thing and end adult marijuana prohibition here in the state of Oregon. Rick, thank you so much for being here.
I might add, Russ, you've got a pretty progressive audience, I would imagine. I bet you all have some friends and relatives and loved ones who'd like to learn more about this. This is the perfect opportunity. I'm going to share travel tips. I'm going to share how travel broadens your perspective, and I'm going to share a very good primer in drug policy reform right here in Oregon. So I'm going to 10 cities in the next 6 days. Check out the website, as Russ said, and get your friends and loved ones out to learn more about this important issue. Thank you very much, and happy travels, even if you're just staying home.
That's Rick Steves speaking to me at his hotel before he headed off to the Congregational Church in Portland to do his first talk on the Oregon Marijuana Educational Tour. His second talk on the tour in Beaverton took place today at noon, and coming up next, we've got the video from that presentation where it was standing room only for a one-hour talk from Rick Steves. I hope you'll enjoy that. This is music from Django Reinhardt. The tune is called, believe it or not, Belleville. I'm going to call that my theme song from now on, I guess. Anyway, that's all the time we got for today on our first hour of the Russ Belleville Show. But stay tuned, like I said, for Toker Talk Radio, a special edition with the complete speech by Rick Steves today in Beaverton, just outside of Portland, where the Nike World headquarters are, among other things. And like I said, standing room only speech, lots of folks out there to catch Rick Steves, and I think you'll really enjoy the speech. Tomorrow, I will be out on the road following Rick Steves, so no live show tomorrow. We will have, we'll probably just repeat these episodes for the folks that missed them earlier. For everyone here at 420radio.org, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show.
Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.